Carmela, how do you feel about grocery store house brands?
Well, there are definitely ones that I buy, and then there are definitely ones I avoid.
Okay. Well, what about house brand wines?
I'm down to try them.
Okay. I think I am too. How about we try some more Amazon Cursive Wines? That's their house brand, and see if they're worth drinking.
Ah, I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there. It's going to be a different name.
That's right.
All of a sudden, you kind of paused.
I know.
You're about to say my name.
Wow, could be somebody else. Someday, maybe, if I'm lucky. Okay, we are the Wine Pair.
At least I'm on your script, right?
Okay, hold on. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, what we do is we learn about and we taste and review three wines that are reasonably priced, which means under $20 and should be easy for you to find. And our goal is to have some fun, to learn about some new wines, talk about wines in a way that regular people like us can understand. And we are proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter magazine. And they call us what, Carmela? Fun, irreverent.
Chatty.
Oh, yes. And entertaining. I knew you'd get the chatty one. Okay, wait a minute now. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, on your script, you have insert name here. And then every time you just decide if you, you want to insert my name.
Maybe one of these days.
Wow, are you going to replace me?
No, I almost forgot your name though. Okay,
oh, wow.
Carmela though.
Wow.
Okay, before we get to the topic of the day, I did want to just really quickly talk about our last episode. Super quick. This is a little bit off script because I ran into something unexpected and kind of cool that I wanted to share. So the short version is we did the episode last week on Lange Nebbiolo. Mm-hmm. And after we do our episodes, we have three bottles of wine to finish.
And we try.
But we usually don't, no. Right? Like by the third one, it's been in the fridge or whatever, and we haven't drank it. And so it's bad and blah, because it's just taken too long for us to get to it.
Right.
Well, this week, one of the Lange Nebbiolo is actually the one that we rated the lowest, was still left. And so I was like, want to give it a try. And I tried.
How many days later?
It was 3 or 4 days later. I store them in the fridge because I think that's a good way to store them.
Mm-hmm. Cork in.
It was better. And it might have been, might have been the best of all three of them.
Oh,
it had gotten really rich and good over time. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
When you take them out of the fridge, do you let them come to room temperature?
I don't let them,
because that was a red wine, so.
I do, but I will pour it into the glass and kind of let it warm up in the glass. Okay. Like I'm not crazy about it, you know. But
right.
I think what I've read is that putting them in the refrigerator, corking them and putting them in the refrigerator is actually kind of slows down the
aging
getting
process.
Bad. The getting
right,
bad-ish.
Not the aging in a good way, but yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Exactly. Okay. So let's get back to the episode at hand. It's been about 10 months since we did our first episode on Cursive Wines from Amazon. Does it feel like it was 10 months ago?
It feels like forever ago.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, okay.
Not
so,
really.
No, I don't know. Well, it felt like it was time for us to do another episode on Cursive Wines. Mm. And this time we're going to try their Cabernet Sauvignon, their Chardonnay, and their Sparkling Brut. And the first two of which, the Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay. If you've followed us and you know anything about our taste in wines, you know that those are not really my favorite wines.
Why did you choose them?
Well, that's actually a great question because last time we didn't choose, we chose different varietals that we kind of liked.
Mm.
But this time I wanted to choose varietals that normal people drink and people who aren't weird.
We're expanding our minds.
Yeah, people who aren't weird like us. You know, so many fans of Cabernet Sauvignon out there and so many fans of Chardonnay. Like, I think you got to do it.
Well, and these must be ones that when people walk into an Amazon store that they
totally.
Go to. So
yeah.
We got to be like the people.
Well, that's exactly, that's precisely right. You know, it's like, this is what normal people do. And that's what this podcast is supposed to be for. So we can't avoid it. And if you are curious, episode 22, so a while ago, was our 40 episodes ago,
our
previous episode on Cursive Wines. And in that one, we did a Pinot Noir, a Sauvignon Blanc, and a red blend. Now, let's talk a little bit about Cursive Wines. Because there's only a few areas where you can get Cursive Wines. And usually I think, so I was trying to find this out. I know it's in areas where you can find Amazon Fresh stores.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it on Amazon.com, but I'm really not totally sure if you have to be in an area where there's also an Amazon Fresh store for them to deliver Cursive Wines. So
right.
I just don't know.
Or you may just not get Prime delivery.
Yeah.
If it's farther away,
true.
Right?
You might have to pay for it. No, but I don't even know if you can get it. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
That's a good thing to research.
Well, this is the thing, is I tried to research. I was looking up on the interwebs and I couldn't find it out. So if anybody out there in listening land knows, if you know this information, like how many different places you can buy cursive wines, if you have to have an Amazon Fresh store, I would love to know. Like, we would love to know.
So when you went in,
and we'll give you a gift if you let us know. We'll give you a gift.
Oh, wow. We'll give you a cursive wine.
Yes.
One that we rate poorly. No, one we love.
Okay.
But no, what I'm wondering though is why couldn't, I mean, Amazon is so user-friendly. I mean, when you type in that particular, like a bottle of wine.
No, you can find it. You can find it. But I just don't, because there's different laws in different states about where they deliver. And sometimes on Amazon, like they'll only deliver things that come from like Whole Foods or whatever, because they're shipping them from the store.
Right.
They're not really shipping them from a warehouse.
So you just didn't take that next step and push like.
I tried.
Okay.
But I couldn't find it.
Just pushing you a little bit.
Do you really want me to spend more time studying things about wine on the internet?
Well, I can't stop you. I mean, I got to pick my battles, right?
Okay. All right. Whatever. But, and this is a big one, Carmela. Hmm. I think we may have solved the mystery of who makes cursive wines.
Oh.
If, and this is a big if we can trust ChatGPT.
Oh, that buddy of ours.
Yeah. But I'll reveal this information a little bit later.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to keep you guessing.
I was going to say, in suspense, huh?
That's right. Now, the other reason I wanted to do this episode again is because when we look at our hits from the Google machine, you know the Google machine.
Right. We all have a Google machine.
I have my own Google machine.
Well, whoa.
I think.
What
it's
do you
just,
mean?
It's on my computer. I don't know.
Well, it's probably the same one as mine, though.
No,
right?
It's totally different.
Wow.
Actually, it is different.
Well,
because
it's true.
It's smart. It knows
right.
what
it
you
says, this right. Oh, my God. Let's trade and see what happens.
No. Nope. Never happen. It will never happen.
All these cakes would pop up on mine and
who knows?
It would pop up on yours. No,
wow. Okay. Anyway, so now when I look at our stats, because I'm a dork, I look at our stats.
Right.
And when I look on the Google search analytics stats, actually, our episode on cursive wine rates pretty highly. And in fact, like if you search cursive wines, review cursive wine, I think our episode will show up.
Wow. Are
like
you tooting our horn?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's weird. Cause
is that the saying?
Tooting our horn?
That seems wrong.
Yeah.
That seems wrong.
No, that's right.
Okay.
I'm tooting my horn. Okay. Anyway. All right.
Sorry.
God, we're just totally all over the place. Okay. So hopefully what that means is that we are providing some sort of service for some people out there who are curious about cursive wines and want to know if they should buy them.
Hmm.
And I do know based on the Amazon Fresh site. So they do tell you on the Amazon Fresh site where there are Amazon Fresh stores, and they have stores in California, Illinois, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, la-da-la-da-la-da. So anyway, I would just want to know, people in those states, can you get cursive wines? Do you have to go to an Amazon Fresh store? Do you have to buy them on Amazon? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Okay.
Dial in, people. Yeah,
we don't have a phone, but dial in.
Dial in. No. You can, well, you're right. I'm not going to give you my phone number over
not
the
yet.
Interwebs.
But we got to get to know you a little
you can
better.
Send us a note or leave us a message or all that kind of stuff on our website.
Right.
Okay. And then one more fun fact, because I've lost.
Of them tonight.
I know. So if you've never been to an Amazon Fresh store before, they are a trip, right,
yeah,
Carmela? We've been.
Yeah, it's funny how though you become very accustomed to something like that. Just after going once or twice, all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're just
This is a little bit, I just cut you off.
And it's fine. No, go ahead. That's all I had to say.
But this is a little bit weird because you walk into the store and you either like tap your phone or you can put your palm on it. It's so weird. And then you like put your grocery bags in your grocery cart.
What I don't understand is the palm thing. They do that at Whole Foods, too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's some Amazon technology.
Yeah. I'm like,
pay with your hand.
Awesome.
I will. I wish I could just pay with my hand.
Yeah, truly. Whew. But don't you think that now if you go to Amazon Fresh too often, then you go into a regular store and you're like, gosh darn it, now I got to wait in line.
Well, do you remember this?
What?
So we went to Climate Pledge Arena, which is owned by Amazon, or not owned,
so
but whatever,
fun.
Amazon to see Kevin Hart. And in and Climate Pledge Arena, a lot of their places where you buy food, they use the Amazon Go technology or the Amazon Fresh technology.
Pay with your hand.
Yeah. Well, when we went to the Kevin Hart concert, they took our phones.
That
like you had to lock
crazy.
Up your phones. And do you remember we were at one
did
of the
we
food?
Did we talk about that before? I think we might
have. We did. But when we were at one of the food places, there was a lady who was like, I can't buy anything because I don't have my phone.
Right. But then they knew though. They figured it out, right?
I don't know.
Hey,
I'm just
like, how did we pay for things?
Because I had credit card. I had my wallet.
Oh, you
did. I had my wallet too.
Oh my gosh. They didn't think that went through. That was crazy. That was actually crazy.
Yeah, but you totally tangenced me.
No, but you know what else I got to say really quickly? The one who adapted the fastest
I've lost the floor
to the idea of not having the phone was our 19-year-old.
I know.
He was like enjoy mom and dad, like, don't, you know, like, have a good time. Just relax. And we were like, what do you mean you're taking our phone? So we were kind of like the little brats in the scenario.
We were. But can I talk about Amazon Fresh?
Please.
So again, at Amazon Fresh, what happens is you put your shopping bags in your shopping cart and it feels like you're stealing because you're like putting stuff, you're taking stuff off the shelf, you're putting your bag in your cart. And then when you're done, you just like tap your phone again, you walk out. And it's like, you think you've stolen things until you
like
get the receipt.
And
no,
like,
because then you get the receipt and you see that you were the one who got ripped off. But anyway, okay. Ooh. All right. So I think that's enough about Amazon Fresh, enough about all that stuff. I think we should talk about and taste and drink and review these curse of wines. What do you say, Carmela?
I'm down. I'm okay, in.
We're going to do it. But first.
Oh, yeah, people.
What?
We got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So if you are finding that you are enjoying what you are hearing, we would really love it if you would support our show and subscribe to our podcast. And a huge shout out and a thanks to all of you who have subscribed already. We love you. We appreciate you. We want to hear from you. We'll send you some wine. And we would love to hear from you more. And if you have a second, we would love it if you would also leave us a nice rating and review on our website or an Apple podcast or whatever it is so that people will be intrigued and we can grow our listeners. How about that?
That would be great.
Yeah, we would love that. Mm-hmm. And you can reach out to us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast or on Counter Social. And now we're on the Fountain app.
What?
And you can also contact us
Fountain
on app? I know, it's crazy. You can also contact, and I'm trying to learn more about the Fountain app. I'll talk about that a little bit later. I don't really understand it, but it's
never heard of it.
It's Bitcoin-y or something. I don't know. If people know about it, let me know. But anyway, and then if you also you can contact us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who hates standing in checkout lines at the grocery store, including self-checkout.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love a self-checkout.
You know, I'm kind of like, I'm over checkout. I'm like,
what do you mean? Over self-checkout?
I actually, you know, I personally prefer to go to the person.
Well, you know,
I don't
want
to bag my own groceries.
I don't, but I kind of do. I kind of find it like fulfilling. It's kind of like satisfying. It's like you're,
my God,
I need
is
to
this
be
where
active
our lives have gone? that you find fulfillment in bagging your own groceries?
I'm not very good, but I'm getting better.
Joe, today I'm going to the grocery store to feel better about myself.
That's right. That's okay. Right. No, it's a good thing. It's better than standing in line, I feel.
Well, I feel differently, but that's okay. That's why we're a pair.
That's right.
That's
we
what makes
agree
us
to disagree.
Special. That's right. Okay, so we are going to talk about Amazon Curse of Wines. We're going to talk about Private Label, and we are about to reveal the mystery of who makes Amazon Curse of Wines again, at least according to ChatGPT. And if you are not familiar with ChatGPT, we have links and information on our show notes. So if you go to our website and check out this episode, you can see the links. But the short story is this. Are you ready?
Yes.
ChatGPT is a computer program that can understand and respond to human language. Hmm. It's been trained on a large amount of text data and can generate responses to text prompts that are similar to those that a human might give.
Except without the attitude.
Right. And think of it like a very advanced chatbot that can hold conversations with people.
Ah.
Guess what?
What?
That was written by ChatGPT.
Okay.
I didn't write that.
This bot is too smart for us.
So, yeah, there you go. So, but before I share with
you... Does it talk like a bot?
Learn that dog like that. No, yeah. It's typing. It's type.
Oh, it doesn't talk at all.
Well, I'm sure you can make it talk, but I don't
Siri
know.
Talks.
Okay. Okay, but before I share with you what ChatGPT told me when I asked it who makes Amazon's Curse of Wines, which I'm hoping is correct because I think this futuristic death bot may end up taking over the world, and it's not always 100% accurate, so that worries me.
Mm.
I did want to share that when I went to the Amazon Fresh store in North Seattle a few weeks ago, I did notice one strange thing about it.
Hmm.
And that is when you go into the alcohol aisle, it's all blocked off. So you actually have to have a human come and scan your ID and let you in, and you can only go in and out one way.
So that's why we still need humans.
That's the funny thing.
Everything
is automated except can't they come up with a machine that will check your ID?
And they got to scan your eyes or do something like that.
So anyway, I thought
that
was...
How many wrinkles on your face or... Yeah. How many gray hairs on your head?
None for me. Oh, boy. Okay, so this is the information, Carmela, that I got from ChatGPT, because, again, I could not find information on my own on the internet after searching for a long time about who makes Amazon Curse of Wines. So ChatGPT says that Amazon Curse of Wines are made by A to Z Wineworks. which is based in the great state of Oregon, which is just south of us. So for those of you who are curious out there in listening land, many of you may already know what A to Z wines are. Mm-hmm. It is not just a private label company, wine company. They actually make some well-regarded and pretty reasonably priced wines, and also pretty easy to find. So I think even if you don't have access to Curse of Wines, you do have access to A to Z wines. Now, I can't say that A to Z wines are exactly the same, that, you know, they make their same wine the same as they make Amazon's Curse of Wine. Mm. So, you know, so they're not going to be they're not going to be identical, but there's going to be some similarities. I'm in a simulation.
Made a new order.
I know, similarities, because we should assume, like, right, that the winemaker, the processes, they're the same, so there should be some similarities. But I think one difference is, at least for two of these wines, the grapes come from California, and A to Z Wineworks is in Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
So there's probably some difference there. And so we were talking about this a little bit earlier. It's like A to Z Wineworks is a private label or a custom crush or a négociant.
Right.
Négociant.
I know. That was a big négociant word that you introduced to me.
It's kind of a fancy
earlier.
Word. So négociant, real simple explanation of a négociant, is not a new thing. It's been around forever. In fact, in France, they've been around for hundreds of years. A négociant will buy grapes or even grape juice from vineyards and then make and label and bottle and sell the wine themselves. It's actually a pretty common thing.
Well, it makes sense. Yeah. Because some people specialize just in one part of the winemaking.
Right. They don't want to make the wine. They just, maybe they can make more money just by, like, I like to farm and I just want to do that.
Well, and then again, like, even in universities now, I mean, they have like certain programs that are geared only towards like growing the grapes.
Yeah.
And then some who are making the wine. You know,
totally.
So I can see that.
Yeah, that's right. And so A to Z, I'm not sure if they're négociant or if they're more just a plain old private label, which is sometimes called custom crush. I'm guessing what Amazon does with A to Z is more like a custom crush or a private label, because it looks to me like they hire a winemaker to make a wine for them under a private label. Mm. And then, you know, we all know private label brands, pretty common, you know, they're pretty normal. Costco Kirkland brand and Trader Joe's brand and Great Value from Walmart and Good and Gather from Target and Private Selection from Kroger and Lucerne from Safeway and all those kinds of things. So there's a lot of private, it's not like private labels are a new thing or a weird thing. And like we said in the intro, like, there are some private labels that we really like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll always also use them. And then custom crush is not just about like private label wines that may be, you know, used as a, you know, in a grocery store. There are people that use custom crush to actually sell their own wine. So there's a wine that we've tried called Michael Lavelle Wines, which we really like, and they're custom crush. Hmm. They don't, the people who own the brand, Michael Lavelle Wines, do not make the wine.
Right.
They hire somebody else to make the wine, and then they market it and they sell it.
Right.
And that's totally
They're
fine.
They're the business behind it. They're the business side of the wine.
Yeah. And then when we had kids, when the kids were little, they had like one, I don't know how they got away with this. Well, I guess because it was a Catholic school, but they made their own wine labels and were put on a wine. And
the
that's kind of a custom crush.
Yeah, yeah. It was really kind of cute.
Do you remember why they did it?
It was never very good.
Oh, the wine was terrible.
It was for auctions. It was to
auctions.
Sell. Yeah. You know,
it's bribery. It's blackmail.
Well,
it's blackmail.
I mean, it's completely,
you don't want this wine with
your kids
label on
even
it.
Even if you're like not a drinker, you still got to buy that case of wine.
Yeah.
And ours is still probably sitting in the, because then who drinks it? Who actually drinks it?
I'll be honest with you. There is a number of them that I just poured out and kept the bottles.
Oh my God. You never told me that.
Because the wine was terrible.
Well, right.
But you didn't buy it for the wine.
No, but then that's the thing. Usually you don't even want to open it because you're like, oh my God, then you got to recycle the bottle. But you kept the bottle.
You keep the bottle.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. So back to A to Z Wineworks really quick. If they are the ones making the wine, and hopefully ChatGPT was right. So they're either operating a custom crush operation or a négociant. And then we'll talk about these specific Curse of Wines in a little bit. But again, as I mentioned before, A to Z Wines has some good, they have some strong accolades. Like, Wine Enthusiast has rated several vintages of their Pinot Noir, their Rosé, their Pinot Gris, and Rieslings between 89 and 91 points.
Huh.
So this is not some crappy, shady, you know, winemaker. This is a real deal.
Yeah.
Like, they make good wines. And actually, in about a month or so, we're going to review an A to Z wine that we have that's a unoaked Chardonnay, which I'm actually pretty excited about.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about the wines that we chose for this episode really quickly, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so as usual, all the wines that we've chosen for this episode are under $20. And in fact, all of them are under $9.
Oh my God.
So if any of these are good, any of them are good.
They're going to be worth it.
It's a great deal. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And A to, like, again, not sure how accessible cursive wines are, but A to Z wines you can find anywhere. You can get them on wine.com, BevMo, Total Wine. Like, you should be able to find them in your local grocery store, in a wine shop, or definitely online. Okay. And then a few things about cursive wines is they really do try to cater them to people who don't care to learn a lot about wine. They just want to go to a grocery store and they just want to buy a wine. They don't want to spend a lot, but
they don't want to see a lot of people. They don't want to have to check out. Yeah, they don't want to stand in line.
But they want to use their hand to pay.
Right. Pay with your hand.
Yeah. And so on the back of the labels, and we'll show this on our Instagram, but on the back labels of their wines and also on Amazon.com, you can see this. They have a couple of scales on the back label that tell customers what the experience of the wine should be on a couple of dimensions. So, and it's different for white or red, but I think this is kind of a clever way to do it. So on the white wine and the sparkling wine, the dimensions are body and sweetness. So light to full body and dry to sweet on sweetness. And the red wine dimensions are body, light to full, and then intensity, light to bold. Mm. And so I think that helps people who, again,
I think so.
Yeah.
Just like a normal person walking in and, you know, doesn't just needs a little direction. And instead of like, oh, I like that label, or, oh, I've heard this is a good type of or varietal.
Exactly.
They'll have a little bit of information. I like that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I think maybe for a snob like me, I might be like, oh, my God.
Let me find out for myself.
But actually, I think it's totally fine.
Let me review it and decide if I think it's false.
Exactly. And then there are two levels of cursive wines, Carmela. Ah, there are two levels. Okay. They have their regular old wines, which is what we're drinking today.
Whoa.
And then they have the signature.
I was just going to say it's going to be like premier.
No, they call
it. What's the word that they sometimes use?
Premium.
The premium.
Choice.
Yeah.
Select.
Exactly.
If you see choice or select, it's probably not all that great. But anyway, and those are more expensive. They are sometimes up to $15.
Who's buying these wines?
Has the money to buy that? Okay. And another thing to note is that several of their wines have been rated by professional reviewers, including Jimmy Suckling.
No.
Yeah. Who gave it what, Carmela? Who gave it what?
A 90 or more.
A 90 or more, because that's all James Suckling's give it. So Sucklings, I call them. Okay, there's more than one. Okay. And I do but I do think that when we tried the previous wines from Cursive, we actually liked at least one of them quite a bit.
Good.
So there you go.
Good.
So the first wine we're going to drink today is the Cursive California Chardonnay, which James Suckling actually gave a 91.
Oh, Jimmy, nice job.
Big whoop.
Right, he's like, well, I better change it up.
I know, exactly. I better add a one. Add a one. Yeah. So on the scale on the label, this one is on the fuller bodied side of the scale and on the drier side of the sweetness scale, but not all the way to the dry side.
Okay.
And then reading the reviews of this wine on Amazon.com, I'm guessing this is going to be a very typical kind of oaky Chardonnay. And so, but I'm not going to prejudge.
Okay.
Not going to prejudge.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for us to try that. It's a good thing.
Not my favorite, but
no,
hey, we're going to try it and we're going to find out. We're going to see. Okay. The second wine is the Cursive California Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm-hmm. I did not find a rating from a professional reviewer on the website, and I couldn't find it on the interweb. So, you know, we'll be the professional reviewers.
Right.
They'll say
the wine pair gave it a...
Mm-hmm. A two. No, I don't know. We'll see.
We're not
I shouldn't
say.
Prejudge. I'm
no.
prejudging. That's
why
not fair.
That's why I paused. I said the wine pair gave it and I stopped.
And
but
then,
you just got to jump ahead.
But that's not even, we don't even know yet because we haven't even tasted it yet.
Preconceived notion that it's going to be like.
Relax,
you know,
don't prejudge. You're so judgy.
What is going on?
I don't know. So on the bottle, the body scale topped out at full body. So this is full body.
Wow. Okay. And watch out, people.
Yeah. And the intensity scale is almost full on at bold. So.
My goodness, this is going to blow us out of the water.
Yeah. It could be one of those like. You know, California, punch you in the face, fruit bombs. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to find out. But I do say, for me, there's hardly anything as depressing as a bad Cabernet Sauvignon, except maybe a Madonna concert. But
hey, what are you? People out there like Madonna.
I know. I said that because Carmela and her sister-in-law and her brothers just bought Madonna tickets.
And I got one for you.
Just in case I change my mind.
Right. And can you believe that? Married 27 years. And when we were texting, he just said, I'm out. I was like, what do you mean you're out?
I know, which was...
And he said, I don't want to see Madonna. And I was like, it's not about seeing Madonna. It's about going to the Madonna concert with me.
But honey, I do this with you every week. And that is the highlight of my life. the highlight of my life.
Wow. Makes me think that maybe if I wasn't sitting here, it would still be the highlight of your life.
No. Actually, it would be really boring if it wasn't for you.
Oh, you're so nice. Yeah, but I still got that ticket for you, so.
Okay, well, I might change my mind.
Reconsider.
Probably not.
If not, then I'm going to take somebody else. Yeah,
how about this? If you reach out to us and you tell us why you love Madonna and anything about Amazon Curse of Wines or whatever, you might win the ticket.
We didn't put this up for like a winning scenario.
I'm just saying you might. I'm not saying you will.
It has to be big.
Probably won't.
You need to really blow me away.
Has to be really big. Yes. Okay. The last wine we're going to try, and I'm actually hyped for this one, and that's why I saved it for last, just in case the first two are crappy, but I'm not prejudging.
No.
This is the Sparkling Brut. Although I'm not sure exactly where the grapes are from because the bottle and Amazon do not say. There's also no professional rating.
Secret.
But on the website, the ratings from the people on the website were a little bit on the positive side. And the website does say that if you like a Gruet, which I do like Gruet sparkling wines, that maybe you'll like this one.
This one might
be for
you.
Yeah. Okay. Now on the scales on the bottle, it's on the lighter end of the body scale and all the way on the dry side of the sweetness scale, which we like. Mm-hmm. It means Brut. It should be. And remember, Brut means dry and dry means sweet. When you're talking about sparkling wines, it's always confusing. Don't forget it, but be confused.
If you do, it's fine. Joe will just only judge you, but I won't.
Judgy. I'm judgy. That's right. I got caught today for being judgy. Ooh. Okay.
That's a whole nother story. That's not.
Someday. Yeah. We will share that. But
Better to keep it to yourself.
All right. So enough of this talking. Let's drink some wine.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's do it. We'll be right back to try our first wine. Okay, we are back and we're ready to try our first wine. And this is the Cursive Chardonnay. So I will talk about it a little bit while Carmela smells it. Cursive Chardonnay, it's from California. It doesn't say where in California. It just says California. We believe the producer is A to Z Wineworks. This is a 2019. It was $8.99. Holy moly.
Wow.
We got it at Amazon Fresh. It's 14% alcohol.
My gosh.
Which is a lot for a white wine. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty positive that it is oaked. It's 100% Chardonnay, as far as I can tell. And Jimmy Suckling gave it a 91. So, Carmela, what are you smelling?
Okay. So, it smelled very sweet to me coming out of the gate. Something on it that I can't get.
It's oaky.
It's
super oaky.
Yeah, it is oaky, for sure. But it's even kind of like cotton candy-like.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, it really...
Vanilla,
for sure. Yeah.
It's got a little fruit on it, like a pineapple-y fruit or something.
Tropical
fruit.
Something
maybe
that's
a tiny,
sweet and tang. Like there's a little bit of... But pineapple would be a good one.
Yeah, kind of a pineapple that's been put in a wooden cup and burned. Actually, a grilled pineapple. It may have a little bit of a grilled pineapple
smoky
smell.
Smoky from that oak, maybe, huh?
Maybe a touch of apple, too, but I'm not positive. What do you think? Should we try it? Should we just break it and try it?
Let's do it.
It's
oaky.
It's pretty oaky.
Yeah.
It's a little sharp. It's got fruitier flavor than I expected it to.
It's sort of, it's actually, even with the oak, though, it is a little more subtle than I thought. I thought it was going to be.
I'll say on the back end, super caramely. Yeah. Really caramely.
Maybe
almost
that's where
like
the cotton candy
corn
is
or kettle
coming
corn
from for me.
What about kettle corn?
Yeah. A little bit.
What about kettle corn?
Wow. Okay. It's like kettle corn.
Yeah.
What about? Yes. It's
very caramely on the back
end.
Yeah.
The caramel, I think, is what I was smelling too. Mm. Kind of a butterscotch or.
Butterscotch.
Yeah. There's something kind of sweet and.
Tastes like candy.
Yeah. There's cream, a little bit
butterscotch
of cream.
Butterscotch is good. What about a butter rum? Remember they had the Lifesavers? They were butter rum.
Oh, my God.
Why were they butter rum and then some were butterscotch?
And they were brown.
And they kind of both tasted the same. And rum and scotch don't taste alike. That's what I don't understand.
But why? And butterscotch doesn't really taste like scotch.
I don't know. I've never tried scotch.
Right.
Yes, I have. I don't like scotch.
Yeah. Oh, that is so strange. But yeah, it's got kind of a caramely, buttery. Is it butterscotch or butter rum?
I'm saying more butter rum. It is buttery. It's oaky. It's like very typical to me. This is kind of a typical California Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. So I think if you like oaky, buttery, vanilla, caramely, butterscotchy Chardonnays,
you might like this.
Yeah, I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. I would be curious of a Chardonnay lover or, you know,
we should ask Chardonnay Shay. Chardonnay Shay.
Yeah. Like, what exactly?
What do you think, Allison? We want to know.
Yeah. What you think of it? Because I'm enjoying it.
Are you really?
Yeah, I don't think it's bad.
It's not, you know, like, I will say this, you know, I prejudge and I tend not to like these kinds of wines, but it's not like, it's not offensive.
No.
It's not, you know.
What would you eat with it?
That's a good question. I would definitely, I think you could have fish. You could have it with fish. Mm-hmm. I think you could have it with, you know, like a salad, nice salad, charcuterie board. I'm trying to think, what would you eat?
Would you have something like, I was almost like thinking of a salad when you said that. I was like, a salad?
Popcorn.
But I'm also like, I could see doing like a salad with like pumpkin seeds or something.
Yes,
like
caramelized, salty.
Yeah, sweet and salty type of like nuts on it, or, you know.
Nuts on it.
What was that all about?
I don't know.
I just said nuts.
Wow. She said nuts. Okay, what? Anyway, salty. No. Speaking of nuts, salty.
Sweet and salty. But this, I can see, sometimes when I have a Chardonnay like this, I can see why people just... Wait, now I'm losing my words. You're getting me all like, wait, stop. I can see why people just have a Chardonnay, a glass of Chardonnay, and just like mosey around with it. And
mosey.
But they're
get
not
all
like,
down to
no,
the mosey.
You can have this on its own.
You could.
You it's don't very, feel it's like got a you lot have of, to eat
it's
something.
It's got a lot of richness to it.
I mean, you should always eat when you're drinking.
You should.
Drink,
it's got a lot of richness to it. I do.
Yeah.
I think salty foods, it would do okay with salty foods.
I think
don't
so
you
too.
Think?
I think that popcorn idea or like salty nuts, I yeah. like the caramel. What the heck?
Again with the nuts?
Are you freaking out?
I'm freaking out.
I don't know. I can't say nuts, okay. I guess. But no. So potato chips.
Mm-hmm. Salty. That's what I said. Popcorn. Popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn.
Okay.
What about, but you said fish too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think
on the,
so.
I'll just tell you on the bottle, what they say is Caesar salad and halibut. Okay. So we're, okay. let's rate it. And so, and as a reminder on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we're going to buy it. And 4 and below means we're not only are we not going to buy it, we're going to pour it down the sink. And a 5 or a 6 is like, we'll drink it, but maybe we'd look for something different, but we're not, you know, we're good with it. We'll drink it.
I feel like too, this reminds me of like being, sorry, in a cabin.
By
I
the,
don't know why.
By the lake?
Yeah, like it.
In a cabin, in a van, down by the river.
What the heck is going on?
What would you rate it?
It almost tastes like a cabin. Okay.
It does. It kind of tastes like the wood of a cabin.
Yes, exactly.
It does have an oaky, smoky, woody smell.
Yeah.
And taste.
That's what I'm...
Oaky, smoky.
Yeah. Oaky, smoky.
All right. Can we rate
I
it?
I would probably rate it like a 6.
Okay. I'm struggling on this one.
Maybe a 7. Okay,
really? Well, you got to decide. 6 or 7, because you can know halvesies.
I would like to buy this for somebody that likes.
But would you
Chardonnay.
Buy it for yourself? Would you drink it and buy?
Well, I'm not going to. No, okay, I'm not going to choose to drink this.
Okay, so I think you got to stick with a 6.
Okay, I'll do a 6.
I'm gonna go. I. Okay,
that's me though.
I know. Once again, I just have to be really honest. I don't like these kinds of wines. But that's okay. Like, that doesn't mean they're a bad wine.
No.
It's not my cup of
but
tea.
But for a Chardonnay,
if you
what
love
do you
Chardonnay,
think?
Well, if you're a Chardonnay drinker, I think this is a 7, at least. I think you're going to buy
See,
this.
I'm kind of
if you really like
way.
An oaky Chardonnay, I think you're going to buy it. For me, I'm going to give it a 4. Because
oh wow!
Because I'm just not.
I just started writing a 7 down and then.
No. I this is, again, for me, this is me. My taste. I'm
but
not
compared
buy it.
To other Chardonnays that you've had,
it's fine. I like un-oaked Chardonnay.
Right.
So,
I know.
So for me, I would not drink this wine. I would not drink it. But
you wouldn't drink it at all.
I wouldn't finish it.
Okay.
I would not finish it. But if you like Chardonnay, this is why it's so important to like taste different wines and kind of know your taste. And then when you listen to people like us or other reviewers, you can go, oh, I agree or I disagree. If you like an oaky, nice, oaky, buttery, caramely Chardonnay, vanilla, you're going to love this one.
Yeah.
You're really going to like it.
That's why
it's not what I like. That's fine. I don't like it. That's okay.
Well, you're acting quite defensive.
I'm feeling bad. I was mean today, and I'm trying not to be as mean. I'm trying to turn a new leaf.
But you just gave it a 4.
I know.
Well, I'm almost thinking I'm going to give it a 7 because I think I would drink this.
You'd buy it. You're at a restaurant.
I would
you're going to buy it.
No. See, that's where I get caught up.
I think you got to stick with the six. Again, a six is not a bad rating.
But I'd like somebody to give us their thoughts around this.
I would love to hear it.
And I think, I feel like I would suggest this to... Especially
if you're a Chardonnay lover. Yeah.
And I think I would suggest it to somebody who I know, like my cousin. I would think I would say, have you tried the Curse of Chardonnay?
Totally.
Yeah.
And she would probably love it.
I'm going to ask her.
She would probably love it. And that's great. Like, it's not a problem.
No, I think it's a good thing when you find somebody, a Chardonnay you like. Or like when we find a Sauv Blanc that we like or a Pinot Gris... Then we're happy.
Okay, here's what I would say. If we're having a party and I want to get a reasonably priced Chardonnay, for people who love Chardonnay, I would buy this all day. Okay, and they would, and people would be happy with it.
Yeah.
Okay. I know they would be happy with it. It's just me. Me. I don't like this kind of wine.
The problem lies with you.
The problem is with me, as usual. Okay. No. We're going to take a break and we are going to clean out our glasses and we're going to try our next wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our next wine. This is the Curse of Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'll talk about it a little bit. And Carmela, you can smell it. So this is the Cabernet Sauvignon from Curse of. It's from California. Again, it doesn't say where in California. It just says California. This is the producer, again, we believe is A to Z Wineworks. The year is it's a 2019. It was only $7.99, so a whole dollar cheaper than the last one. Again, we got it at Amazon Fresh. And this one's only 13% alcohol. So believe it or not, the Chardonnay was a full percentage point of alcohol.
Is that
higher
typical
too.
For Chardonnay?
I don't think it's atypical for a Chardonnay, but I do think it's a little bit odd to have a Cabernet Sauvignon that's not in the 14-ish range. Okay. I think 13 is pretty low. Hmm. And there's no professional rating on this. And as far as we know, it's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. But Carmela, what are you smelling?
Well, I think it's there's some tobacco on it.
Mm-hmm. There's tobacco, there's smoke. I'm getting cherry. I'm getting cherry too.
Are you getting like a tart cherry or
a black cherry?
Yeah, me
like
too.
A dark. Yeah, a dark,
even a
rich
stewed.
Cherry. Mm-hmm, stewed cherries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little plummy on it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a red plum.
Mm-hmm. There's spice to it on it, I think, a little bit too. I think there's a little spice on the back of there.
Like a black pepper spice? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting. A little bit of black
not,
pepper.
Not a baking spice. No, like a black pepper spice or incense-y kind of spice.
Mm. I can get behind the incense a little bit. Yeah.
And I'm getting a little bit of like leather, like saddle leather, like the, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not like a leather coat, but almost more like, you know, somebody's been sitting on a sweaty horse with their jeans and sweating through and it's all sweaty.
That's such a lot.
I know.
I talked about nuts and you were mad. And then you
sweaty
about,
butt.
Yeah. Gross. Okay.
Let's try it. See what we think. Nuts.
Wow. Saddle butt. Not as much fruit on it.
No.
Hmm.
It's pretty. It's very cherry. It's really cherry, but it's like tart cherry.
Yeah.
It's super tart.
It kind of reminds me of the basket wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kind of like, I don't know. It's not very good. Wow. Let's try it again. Let's just see what we think.
I'm tasting a lot of what we smelled. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sharp. It's kind of harsh.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, what's the word? Oh.
It's sharp, but it's also like thin.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of body. I wouldn't say it has a ton of body.
Did it say full body on this?
Yeah. Wow. It was like full bodied and on the intense side. I think it's got intense.
Young?
This is a punch you in the face fruit, but it's not rich and bold.
Yeah, it's not like a fruity, like you're, this is a nice fruit forward.
Yeah. And it's a little flabby. I think it's a little flabby.
Hmm.
And I think.
Really?
And flabby means it has more tan. It doesn't have enough alcohol to stand up to the tannin. I think it actually needs more alcohol. I think it needs more.
That's why it maybe tastes kind of thin.
You're saying
flabby and thin. Those are like, seems to be.
It just doesn't have a lot of body. But it doesn't have a lot of body to it, to me.
Yeah.
Flabby. I know flabby sounds like, you know.
A lot of body.
Yeah, but too much body. But no, but in this case, it just doesn't have much oomph to it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have a lot to it. It's kind of on the softer side.
I think, for a Cabernet person, I don't know if they would really love it.
No. It's pretty like. Like we were smelling dark cherry, but it doesn't taste like dark cherry. It tastes like a tart or a sour cherry.
Yes,
and there's something else. There's another word that I cannot find in my brain right now. Okay, I had to look it up. It's astringent.
Yeah,
but the other thing is...
Last week you commented, using that word.
Yeah, but the other thing is I was looking on the interwebs for a word like that. You know what came up? And I think this fits. A little cough syrupy. It's got a little bit of like cough syrupy or a little bit of like, you know, like the medicine you used to give your kids, the liquid medicine you'd give your kids.
But it, well, no, that, I think that's the,
yeah, maybe I just gave them wine. I don't know.
True. No, but I think when we were younger, that type of cough medicine, like not what our kids got, kind of like yummy, grapey kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That, I think you're right. It kind of, you think it's sweet when you first put it on your tongue, but and then not. You're like, oh, God, it's. Doesn't have, stand up to it. And it's kind of not so good, especially the back end of it.
Yeah, no. What food might you pair with this?
Well, I think it would be good to have food with it.
I think you need food.
Yeah, I do.
I think you need something bold.
Maybe like a nice big, eat these things, but I would say a burger.
Or a steak or a pizza, something to like kind of.
Yes, yeah.
Just kind of cover up that taste a little
Pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing fine. Nothing. Light.
No. Nothing. I think
something
so.
That will just overpower it. A nice stew.
Oh, man.
You know, a chicken pot pie, a turkey pot pie, maybe a beef pot pie, beef stroganoff, meatloaf. Like, that's what you want. Something that's going to just.
Meatloaf.
Yeah. Meatloaf.
Wow.
All right. Not loving this wine. No, what rating are you going to give this wine, a Carmelita?
So, to be fair, I wouldn't typically even have a Cab Sauv.
You wouldn't. No, so I mean, I didn't say that as a question. That's a fact.
Yeah, right. I just really wouldn't. But this one, I don't think I would. I don't think I'd finish it.
Yeah.
I'm probably going for like 4.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4 as well. Although it's worse than the Chardonnay. I might give it a 3. I don't know. It's not like, oh, I can't.
It's not like one of those things like, I shouldn't put this in my body.
No, it's just not very good. Yeah. It's just not very good. It's not
like
really
a disappointment. A little bit.
This is like what I said. It's like the Madonna concert is a little bit disappointing.
No, we haven't even been to the concert yet.
But I do think like a bad Cabernet, a bad like a wine that you expect that it's going to be good. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Where the last one, it was like, I just don't like Chardonnays that are oaked. But I think if you like Chardonnays that are oaked, you're going to like this wine.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't like Cabernet Sauvignons a lot anyway. But this one, even if you like them, I'm not sure you're going to like this
one. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, that's another thing that you kind of.
Tell us. Tell us, people.
Right. We want to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a pause and clean out our glasses and try our last wine.
Okay.
Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the Sparkling Brut. So, Carmela, you smell it while I talk about it. This is the Curse of Sparkling Brut. It's from California. No, actually, I don't know where it's from. I put California, but we don't actually know. So my notes lie. It's A to Z Wineworks is the producer. We believe non-vintage, so no year. It was $8.79, so it was our second most expensive.
My goodness.
That always makes me wonder if they're like, it's on sale or they're trying to get rid of it. We got it at Amazon Fresh. It's 12% alcohol, which I think is a little low for a brut, but it's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what grapes are in it. But I think it's maybe Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, which are pretty classic, like sparkling wine grapes. Mm-hmm. No professional rating. What are you smelling, Carmela? Well, actually, go ahead.
Yeah, let's first comment on the color. Color is dark.
And the bubbles, I would say, are, you know, it doesn't have the, I'm going to nerd out, but it's a lot of bubbles, but it doesn't have, they're kind of like all over the place. Mm-hmm. With like a really fine, like a good sparkling wine, they'll be kind of like, beating up in
the top.
They'll also be more uniform, I feel like.
Oh, okay. Never known that or even looked, but it's kind of pretty. But I'm telling you, it smells and looks like Martinelli's sparkling cider.
Yeah, it does have an apple-y, citrusy, but I get a little bit of yeast on it, just a little bit.
You know, when we first opened it, I feel like it smelled more like that. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like it's sparkling
sweet.
Cider.
Mm-hmm. It's sweet smelling.
But like a kid would smell this and go, and be fooled.
Yeah, but I'm getting a little yeast on it. I am.
Okay.
I am getting a little yeast on
like
it.
Like toast or not, something shortbready?
Not toast,
bready,
just
or?
Yeast. Yeah, maybe a little shortbread.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe like a little bit of a brioche or something, a croissant. Okay, now let's try it.
Ooh, I like a croissant.
Mm-hmm.
I can't spell croissant.
Croissant. Ooh, it's tastes like sparkling cider. It's nice. Sweet.
Wow.
It's brut, you know, and it says it's dry, and you can feel it drying out in your mouth, but it's sweet. It tastes sweet.
Yeah, it tastes sweet. This could be dangerous. Sweet.
Yeah, this is one of those where...
It's very apple-y.
Quaffable. As your brother would say, it's quaffable. You can just drink this shit.
Yeah, and you can.
You can just drink
it. Actually, like, after a long run.
Or after a long podcast. You might just want to down this.
Right. Okay. I can just see gulping it, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to say this right from the get-go. Yes, we can. Just to say this right from the get-go. We love sparkling wine. We love sparkling brut. This isn't like the greatest sparkling brut. It's $8.79.
I mean, you cannot go wrong.
It's 100 times better than like an André or a Cook's or something. It's good. Like,
yes.
It's got
For sure. And it's not, it's sweet, but like you said, it dries out. So you're not feeling like when you're having some of those other ones you just mentioned, you are like, I can have a sip or two and then you're feeling done. Like this is so sweet. It's like sugarful. This doesn't have that same.
No, because of acid. It's got acid. It kind of dries out of your mouth. Yeah. It's nice. But it's very apple-y or apple citrus, quince perhaps. No, like pear. Like what are those like Asian pears or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
The apple pear combination. Apple pear.
That's what it tastes like to me. Or really like even a Bartlett. What are the really crispy like
pears?
Really crispy pears.
Like an Anjou, but those those get nice and there's Anjou, there's it's Bosque.
It's got Bosque.
Bosques are good. I can't talk, but like when they're softer.
Yeah, this is pear.
But I do feel like you could gulp this like after a long run.
Just be ready, ladies and gentlemen.
That sounds weird.
We're gonna gulp this and see some nuts. Okay, so anyway, what food would you pair?
And Saddlebutt.
Yeah, Saddlebutt. Ooh. Okay, what food would you pair this sparkling wine with?
I almost said something terrible that nuts? I won't say. No, we're talking about Saddlebutt.
A sausage?
Nuts. Then I was like, this ball. It just felt like it fit.
What? Like meatballs?
Yeah. But then
you wouldn't have meatballs? No. Swedish meatballs, maybe.
But I was just trying to find something that
fit. You're trying to be funny. Yeah, you're trying to be funny. Say something crass.
It was gross.
No.
It's actually just
gross.
It doesn't fit you. No, I can't even say it without cracking up.
No, okay, I can't
forget
even.
Forget it.
Okay, so
can
what
we get
food?
Rid of that?
Wait, yeah, we'll cut it. No, we won't. Okay, so what food would you pair?
No, I think that I would love to do like a nice cheese board and I think I would do a puff pastry with like brie in it. I think this would be
nice.
A really nice like appetizer. Whoa, I keep hitting this. Really nice appetizer wine.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm going to say? Spicy foods. Well, no, actually, I'm thinking more like...
Oh, spicy food would be good. See, I just don't think of drinking sparkling as much with like a...
You don't? Because you're not really a spicy food fan.
Yeah. No.
Even though we'll probably order it tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Now I know it's for dinner.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just thinking, I just see this as like a great introduction to an evening.
Yeah.
And I know that's people think that with sparklings, but this one in particular would be a nice one.
I think like if I'm thinking of a meat, like a ham. Like ham would go well.
Who eats ham?
Jeez, I like ham. I don't know.
Like a ham sandwich?
A ham sandwich. And then also, you know those bries that come in like the brie in the bread?
The puff pastry.
Yeah, did you say that already?
I love that.
I'm cutting that out because I...
Oh, wow. No, you can't. One day I'm going to do the editing.
Honey, you will never do the editing.
Why not?
Because you just won't do it.
Why? Because I don't know how. But besides that... I think I could really see this. So I love puff pastries. I love phyllo dough.
Oh, right. Phyllo dough.
Phyllo dough where you like pack it with something delicious like spinach and what?
Pack that phyllo dough.
And cheese and goodies.
Okay.
We're going to have a cocktail party. This is
just
a cocktail party wine.
It is. Okay. What rating would you... I agree. I totally agree. It's a cocktail party wine. It's a party wine. Like it's cheap. It's inexpensive, I should say.
It's a good
people
crowd
are gonna
pleaser.
Like it. People are going to like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think okay, so. Yeah.
What rating would you give it?
I'm going to give it a solid 7. Like yeah, I could almost give it an 8 just because of the price point and everything. But
I know.
Taste-wise, I'm giving it a 7.
I'm giving it a solid 7 too. Remember, on our rating scale, 7 is we're going to buy it. And right. I'll tell you what. We're going to buy this. Like if I have a party coming up and I need a bunch of sparkling wine at a pretty reasonable price...
Oh
this
my gosh.
Thing all day. Yeah. Are you kidding? It's
yes.
good. It's good. I like it.
It is good.
So easy question. Which of these wines are you finishing tonight?
I think we're taking down the curse of sparkling tonight.
That's right. Oh, let's talk about the taste profiles expected from all of these wines. What a Chardonnay, a Cabernet Sauvignon, and a sparkling Brut. Now, again, usually we'd want to know what's in the sparkling Brut, but well, I think it's got a pretty typical kind of sparkling wine kind of taste for like a Chardonnay Pinot. Okay, but let's talk about the Chardonnay wine itself. Typical Chardonnay tastes are yellow apple, star fruit, pineapple, vanilla, butter. From California, a quince, a tart apple or pear, star fruit, lime peel, white blossom, Chalk. James Suckling said about this wine, delicious cooked apple and light honey character, hints of lemongrass. And creamy texture. Definitely was creamy. The winery said, full-bodied with notes of oak, citrus, and butterscotch.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding.
That's amazing.
That's what it said. Butterscotch.
That's amazing. We nailed that one.
We kind of nailed that one. Wow. Okay. Cabernet Sauvignon.
But not butter rum.
No. It was butterscotch, not butter. I still say butter rum. Okay. Cabernet Sauvignon. Typical flavors are black cherry, black currant, cedar, baking spices, and graphite or pencil.
Okay.
From California, typical are black currant, pencil lead, tobacco, blackberry, and mint. The winery said notes of blackberry jam and plum.
I said plum.
Tobacco, we were getting.
Cherry tobacco.
But not the leather. Nobody was getting the leather.
No, or the black pepper.
Yeah. Huh. But we did get, like, they talk about pencil lead, so I guess there could be some of that in
there. Right, in the black pepper. I bet you that's a little crossover. Okay.
Yeah. And then a sparkling wine made, a brut made from Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. A typical taste would be citrus, lemon, cream, bread, yeast, apple, and pear.
So my goodness.
Definitely getting that. The winery says notes of green apple and citrus. I was getting more pear than...
We didn't get a lot of citrus.
No, a little bit, but not a lot. Okay, so I think we did okay.
Yeah, we did okay.
I think we did okay in these, and, you know, it is what
and
it
I
is.
And I think these are worth, you know, for some people, like, look, especially the sparkling.
Yeah.
The Chardonnay, even, are worth trying out.
Well, that's the thing. Look, like we always say, you got to try these wines for yourself. And you got to see what you think. Maybe you'll try the Cabernet Sauvignon and you'll think it's awesome.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah, because everybody's tastes are different.
They're unique. And again, like what we always say is we're not the final word. We are a voice.
Right.
And all we want is that you can compare how you taste to how we taste. And it might be totally opposite or it might be exactly the same.
And you kind of pick up on
matter.
That
yeah,
early
just
on. Like,
become a shortcut. And that's fine.
They don't really love it.
I'm
going to
love
it.
Exactly. All right. Mm-hmm. So we just want to say again, thank you so very much for listening to us and supporting us. And if you haven't done so yet, we would really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast. And also, please leave us a nice rating and review for us on our website or on Apple Podcasts or your other podcast service. And it's a free way to support us. So, and then we'd also love to hear from you. So please reach out to us on our website, thewinepairpodcast.com. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram and Counter Social and on Fountain. And you can DM us and tell us what you think and ideas for future episodes. And tell us if you've tried these cursive wines or you can get them, like, tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Well, and also, you know, if you like Madonna, I might just need a date on July 19th.
And that's totally fine. And we'll give you a bottle of cursive, any cursive wine you want. We'll give you a bottle of bring it.
What?
Okay.
Can't bring it in.
No, just like on the drive over.
Oh,
can't do it on the drive.
Wow.
Okay, pre-fun. Pre-fun.
My goodness.
Pre-fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like I'm looking for a date.
Oh,
so.
Boy. Well, thank you. And we will see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking shitty wine. Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
I always drink too much. I always drink too much.